The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, here's a question. Would you cycle across Dublin City if you were met with green lights all the way? Well, cyclists in Copenhagen are about to get just that. A new initiative is set to be launched that will see synchronised traffic lights on key roads, allowing cyclists to travel at about 20 kilometres per hour uninterrupted by traffic lights. So, is this feasible in a city that also mixes cars with people on two wheels? To find out more about this, I'm joined by Ajit Naranjan, European Environment Correspondent with The Guardian. Good morning and welcome.
Hi, morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, they've been kind of messing around with this for quite a while in Copenhagen, have they not?
Yes, exactly. So the idea came in well over a decade ago. They started with a trial project and then they added it onto several big roads in 2009, 2010. But it's with this new budget, with a raft of different cycling provisions that the City Council passed this month, that they're planning to expand it and improve it. So they're going to add about 15 more routes to this scheme and optimize the timings.
Now, the idea is that if you cycle at about 20 kilometers per hour and you say you get your first green light, if you proceed at this rate, you will get the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and so on.
Exactly. So I spoke to multiple people who've experienced this where they've said coming in the morning that they described it as just the best feeling that you hit one green and then you're just seeing green after green after green and you don't have to have this frustrating stop and start that both cyclists and car drivers obviously are very often frustrated by in the mornings.
So it means it's synchronized so that even the motorists will know what's going to happen because they will know that for the cyclist traveling at 20 kilometres per hour, the lights will observe a certain sequence. That will also affect the motorist who's trying to traverse those routes. The sequence will be fairly predictable, one presumes.
Exactly. I mean, it's traffic lights generally are coordinated in such a way that they're designed for particular speeds. I mean, it's not a unique idea in that sense. But what's really interesting, I think, is that you might expect to the car driver that you're just going to be stuck in this rush hour traffic and just bumping into the person in front of you and getting bumped by the person behind. But because the lights, they're not timed for the cyclists, they're timed for those speeds. So if car traffic in your city at rush hour slows to kind of the same level, then the cars effectively are also going to ride the wave and they won't have to experience that kind of frustrating stopping and starting. Yeah. And I looked up just before this call, in a city like Dublin, the average speed during the rush hour commute can actually be even a bit slower than a bike, according to the TomTom Traffic Index.
Correct.
And so it's the sort of thing where in city, I'm sure your listeners will be aware of that. So it's the sort of thing where you also end up having this strange paradox where, because drivers also benefit from a lack of other drivers being on the road, whoever's actually in their car potentially is not going to feel the negatives of this and may in fact even see the positives if you end up with lots of other drivers swapping onto bikes and freeing up more space on the road for them.
But the lesson is, I suppose, that if you're catching this green wave of lights as you go into the city on various routes, that for the motorists or in any other form of transport, be it a truck or a bus or a scooter, whatever it might be, the idea is to travel at 20 kilometres per hour and you'll catch the wave.
Essentially, yes. And I mean, what the city is now doing is really trying to optimize that because, of course, not every cyclist, even, I mean, they have cyclists in mind, but not every cyclist is going at 20 kilometers an hour. I spoke to quite a few people when I was in Copenhagen just a couple of weeks ago, some of whom made the point that, okay, well, I'm 65 years old. I'm not able to keep up with everyone else. I'm going slower than 20 kilometers an hour. So I'm missing out on these green waves. At the same time, I spoke to other people who are maybe a bit fitter or younger who were saying, look, I bike way faster than that speed. And so when you've got these packed cycle lanes full of other cyclists, then some of these people are frustrated because they can't even go at the speed needed to meet that green wave. Or when there aren't too many other cyclists, they're going way too fast and then still having to stop and start.
Yeah, I mean, I would observe, certainly in suburban Dublin, the cyclists would be going way, way faster than 20 kilometres per hour. Most of them, I mean, many have e-bikes as well, which are capable of much higher speeds. But, the lesson to be learned is Don't rush, because you're not going to get there any faster, are you?
That is definitely one takeaway that you could have from this. I mean, one thing that is quite interesting about the idea behind this is that the city of Copenhagen, I mean, they've got amazing cycling infrastructure. It's the sort of thing that, I mean, I'm based in Berlin, where a lot of other cities in Europe can only dream of. But what they're still struggling to tackle is people coming in from outside the city who work in Copenhagen but don't actually live there. So, I mean, the Copenhageners, only about 30% of them actually own a car. But there is still a lot of traffic, motorized traffic, and a lot of these cars are increasingly SUVs, like bulky vehicles. And so one of the ideas behind this green wave is that, okay, the city's managed to help people get from the really far outskirts on a bike, potentially on an e-bike, along these really extensive cycling superhighways where they don't really even have to interact with motorized vehicles at all. But then they still have the problem, once you get to the suburbs, once you get into out of Copenhagen, that journey from the outskirts into the center, that's where these green waves, they think, could really help encourage people to have a more convenient ride, have a freer journey. In.
Now, when you get into the inner city of Copenhagen, how much segregation is there of cyclist and motor vehicle? Because in a city like Dublin, which is an old medieval city, really, in its layout, it's very hard to carve out extra space. So space ends up being shared. So you get, for example, there are bus lanes that have to share with cyclists, which to me seems insane, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's one thing where Copenhagen can quite reliably claim to be better than most of Europe on. I mean, they have these much more segregated cycle lanes where it really is just for the bikes.
And the final question really is about Copenhagen and its rapid transit system. I mean, do they have an underground? Do they have suburban rail? Do they have trams? Do they have all of the things that actually get people off the road anyway?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've got a great public transport system. And that, I guess, is the ultimate question if you're trying to evaluate, do these sorts of schemes that make cycling more convenient, do they take people out of cars, or do they just take people off public transport and onto the road? Hard to say, because the infrastructure in both cases is, as we said, just much better than most other comparable cities. But it is worth saying, I mean, when I spoke to the mayor for technology and environment about this from the city, I mean, she made the point that it's not just about emissions or climate. I mean, yes, it reduces pollution. Yes, it reduces the number of people in big vehicles. But it also keeps people active and moving their bodies. And from a health perspective, there is a benefit to having people cycling rather than getting on the tram or getting on the bus. And that's something that they're also quite keen to consider as well.
Before I let you go, Ajit, I'll read you some of the text coming in to give you a flavor of the reaction here. As it seems, most cyclists do ignore red lights. I can't see what difference it would make here. That's from Mike O'Sullivan in Bandon. We can't even synchronize the lights on the N11, which is a straight road, so no hope of doing it in the city. That's from Carl. Cyclists never take notice of traffic lights. The money would be better spent keeping cyclists off the footpaths. That's from Eamon. We don't need this system in Dublin. Cyclists disregard red lights anyway. And the final one for the moment, electric bikes offer effortless cycling. Why would an individual want to be stuck in a metal coffin built for five people when they can be free and faster on an electric bike? So I think you gather there's a lot of anarchy in terms of the rules of the road and the segregation of cyclists from motor cars. Ajit Naranjan, thank you very much for joining us. Ajit is European Environment Correspondent with The Guardian.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.